Welcome to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast, where we share Sunday sermon for you to listen during your week.
Everything is all set. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to jump in this quickly. I'll try to go through this as quick as I can. I want to talk to you today. We have been talking about the book of Daniel. It's an Old Testament prophet. And if you've been here the last 2 weeks, I think God's been speaking to us using many things. And what we've come to this conclusion is this, is that we all have a this, right? We all have, your this might be different than my this, but we all have a this in our lives. And it could be a relationship this that you have, a financial issue that you're this. It could be being a parent, could be being a husband, it could be being a wife, it could be being single. It could be a sickness. We all have a this. And we're encouraging because we're looking through this book. Don't worry if you haven't been here with us, but we're looking through this book in the Old Testament called Daniel. And by studying the book of Daniel, here's what I know. Number one, it's been a heavy book. It's a heavy book. It really tries to pull some layers out of us and says, man, I'm looking at myself differently now. It's a heavy book. It's got a lot of facts and different things inside of it. And some things that we read in Daniel obviously can be very confusing as we read them. But the gist of Daniel, what we've been talking about in this book, is it's a lesson on how to get through it. It's a lesson on how to get through this. Daniel and his friends, as you know, are essentially been kidnapped. Jerusalem's been taken over, and they have been kidnapped to a whole other homeland called Babylon. They've been forced to live there. They're forced to live in this country. They spend the rest of going through obstacles, facing all kinds of things. And the reality is this, they spend the rest of their lives in this other country. They're trying to become Babylonian, teach them new languages, teach them to follow new gods and all these types of things. And yet they spend their whole lives in this other country. But here's the reality, they never abandon God in the midst of all of it. In fact, not only do they not abandon God, in the midst of this that they're living in, they are blessed. God blesses them, right? You just don't have to go through this, guys. Hear me this morning. You can thrive through your this. You can thrive through your this. You can grow through this. You can be blessed through this. This, whatever your this is, does not have to control your life. So we're going to continue studying today. Part three of this Daniel look, and we're going to continue to study it. And today I'm excited because we're going to talk about the end times. You guys are quiet today. Nobody wants to talk about that, right? If you study the book of Daniel, you can't avoid this topic. You can't avoid it. If you look at the book of Daniel, right, there are 12 chapters, 12 books in the book of Daniel. Now, let me say this morning before we get started. If you're new here, hang with us. I think you're going to like this. But this morning, there might be a lot of teaching a little bit. Are you guys okay with that? All right, cool. It'll all make sense. But there's going to be a lot of teaching. But here's what I know. If you look at the first six chapters, it'll be on the screen here. If you look at the first six chapters, you see what's happening. It basically tells you what's happening, right? The first six chapters is what's happening. In other words, Daniel's written like in the first person. It's written more like past and present. What's happening, what happened then, and what's happening right now. But then you turn the page immediately when you go to chapter 7, the other six chapters, 7 through 12, you're going to see the theme of what's going to happen. In other words, this is the future. This is also what we call today the end times. Now, here's the question I had as I began to talk about this. Why would a book, the book of Daniel, why would a book whose thesis is all about helping us get through this spend half of its book, half of its letter, half of its pages on the future? If I'm going through something right now, you ever been there before? Like, I don't care about that. I'm like right now what I'm experiencing. Why would it spend half of the on the end? When I can't even make sense about where I'm at right now? Because I'm still going through this, right? But here's what I know. I think that the reason it does that is because sometimes, hear me this morning, sometimes the best way to get through this, whatever your this is to know that this will end. This will end. And that's a word for somebody in the crowd today. Whatever you're going through, this will end. This will end. In fact, the title of today's Daniel talk is simply this: this will end. A few years ago, I was traveling by myself, and I had taken a puddle jumper from Dayton, Ohio, and I ended up in Cleveland, Ohio at the airport, and I'm trying to get home. I'm by myself. I'm trying to get back to New England to be with my family, and I just, you ever been that place where you've been away and you just want to go home? I just want to go home. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I go to this terminal and the place is packed full of people. There must have been weather in the area and there's just all this thing. And everyone's, it's kind of chaotic. Everybody's trying to get around. And I remember hearing them saying like, hey, we're giving $600 vouchers for someone to give up and to come. And I'm like, I just want to go home. And I'm on the phone with my wife and she's like, take the voucher. I'm like, don't you love me? Don't you miss me? Like, you know. And I remember like seeing all these things happen, people missing flights. And so I went to the counter and I just looked at this guy working the counter and I said, will my plane come? And he looked me straight in the eye and he goes, sir, your plane will come. I looked back at him and I said, yeah, but will it come today? And he says, I don't know, but it will come. And he said it with authority, like he knew what he was talking about. And so I believed him. So I just went back to my place and I just waited. And then my departure time came and my departure time went. 30 minutes later, I'm sitting there, but you know what? I'm like, hey, no problem. He said it will come. He said my plane will come, right? So an hour goes by. I don't freak out. It will come. The man said it will come. I'm hanging in there. He confidently, and I'll tell you true people, he confidently looked me straight in the eye and said, it will come. So I stood there and hung up. A few hours later, guess what? My plane finally came, right? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. It finally came, right? I was glad, you know, and I was glad I didn't abandon ship, even though my wife was mad I didn't take those vouchers, right? I was glad I didn't abandon ship. I'm glad I hung in there. And while everyone was freaking out and everyone was upset and going there, I was chill. And I remember this vividly. I was chill because for whatever reason, I believed the word of the person of authority. I believed when he said, it will come. I've come today to tell you, to tell all of us that when you know how it ends, guys, when you know how it ends, it changes the way you endure. When you know how it ends, it changes the way you endure. You know, what if the secret to enduring is knowing that it ends? Maybe that's the secret. Not just that it ends, but how it ends, right? Like, I love my Florida Gators, right? And I, if I have to DVR them on TV and I DVR the game and I didn't know the score and one of you came up and said, hey, you know what? The Gators won. I would still go home and watch that DVR game, right? Now, if they lost, I wouldn't watch it. But if they won, I'd still watch it. You know why? Because it would be so cool to watch it. I know, because I know the end of the story. And here's what's even greater. I can handle the tense parts, the tense moments of the game when I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to throw it? What's going to happen here? I can handle it. You know why? Because I know in advance the outcome. I already know that they're going to win. So it actually makes it more enjoying for me. And for anyone who here in this room today who's wondering, is the plane going to come? For anyone who's stuck in grief or sadness, for anyone who's still there and you want to be here, this main idea in Daniel basically says to you, this will end. What you're experiencing is just a season. What you're experiencing, this will not last forever. This will end. In order to be encouraged, you need to know how it ends and not just what you're experiencing now, but how the creation story ends. And this is what we call in the church this big word called eschatology. And some of you like roll your eyes back, or maybe you're poking your neighbor and say, man, you told me we're going to church, not school. Like, what are you talking about? Eschatology really just means the study of end times, right? Now, I want you to hang with me if you're a church person, but now, there's a lot of vast interpretations of what the end times are going to look like, depending on how you were raised or what tradition, Christian traditions you come from. What I'm going to attempt to do today is I'm going to try to avoid all the details that Christians spend hours arguing about that honestly don't really matter. I'm going to avoid that. And instead, I'm going to pull four truths about the end times. Four truths that not only matter, but listen, that can not only change your tomorrow, but can change your today. Four truths that can change where you are right now. Now, let me give you a quick disclaimer. Today is going to feel like a history class in some ways. Today is going to feel like a Bible class in some ways. And today, Lord help us, going to feel like a math class in some ways. Yuck. But let me tell you this. If you lean in, I promise you, you will never, ever read the Bible the same. If you lean in, I believe you will never see God the same way again. I believe if you lean in, you will not leave here the same way you came in, right? If you've never taken notes before in church, I would encourage you to take notes or at least go back and watch this thing so you can grasp all that we're talking about. So four truths I want to give you from the end times, right? And this first one may sound silly, but I want you to understand the first truth about the end time is simply this. God is real. God is real. So how do I know that God is real, you might ask? Well, when you open the book of Daniel, right, the first thing you're going to read about in chapter 7 through 12 is this vision. Daniel has this vision, and he has this vision of these four beasts, like four huge beasts. And if all you're doing is reading Daniel chapter 7 through 12, right, you're going to be confused. Let me just tell you that. What do beasts and animals have to do with the end times? But you also have to look at the first six chapters and put it into context for the last six chapters. So it's on the screen here, right? You'll see this little analogy. So what's happening in here? You see right down there at the bottom, right, where he talks about that there was the chapters 4 and 5, that there was actually a beast in the first four chapters. The beast was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king who actually had a mental breakdown and started acting like an animal. He literally started acting like a man. So when you read chapter 7 through 12, what we understand is that this is not just a story of an actual beast, but of humans who act like beasts. Because humans without God act like animals. Listen, I hope I didn't offend you. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but all you have to do is remember 2020, when people were taking each other out over a single roll of toilet paper. And tell me people don't act like animals. You remember walking in the store and they say, one package per customer, right? And you're like bringing your whole family in. My husband, daughter, kids, grab one. Here's $2, go buy one. We were hoarded toilet paper, right? I'm just saying, a lot of people blame God for the condition the world is in. But hear me this morning, without God, we have no morality. Without God, we have no connectivity. God is not tearing the world apart. He's actually holding the world together while we tear it apart. But on a more practical level, what has actually happened is David is predicting the next four government leaders, the four kingdoms of the world. Listen to what it says in Daniel 7:4 to be on the screen. He explained it to me like this. These four huge beasts represent four kingdoms that will arise from the earth. We got four beasts, but they're really not beasts. These animals represent governments. Now, why is that significant? Well, check this out. This screen will be on there for you. We see next screen for me, please. We see these four kingdoms that rise up. Daniel prophesied in 553 BC, right? And in 553, he predicted that Babylonian would be the empire. So that's the first one here, right? So Babylon is going to rise up. You can take the dates off if you want. Just go to the main screen there. But Babylon is going to rise up, right? So then the next one was he predicted Persia would happen, right? He predicted this, Persia would come. And then he predicted Greece. And at the peak of Greece, when they're like ruling the world, they'd automatically be divided into four nations. And this is crazy because at the time, Persia was a nobody. If you look back in history, they were nothing. They were insignificant. Greece was just a collection of city states, so they were irrelevant as well. And then once Greece is established, all of a sudden they get divided into four nations. And here's the spoiler alert for you this morning. Just like Daniel dreamed it, it actually happened. Because the next side, you see these dates come on the bottom, right? 539 BC, Babylon falls to the Medo-Persia government. 333 BC, Persia is defeated by Alexander the Great. Anybody ever seen 300? You know what I'm talking about? 323 BC, at the peak of Greek civilization, when they were ruling the entire world, Alexander the Great mysteriously dies, and his whole empire is divided into four kingdoms. Now listen this morning. This actually happens. This is factual. This is history. But Daniel said it would happen almost 300 years before it happened. He was accurate. He predicted it 300 years before it happened. This morning, God is real. Let me put it in context. That would almost be like me coming before you this morning and predicting to you who the next 75 presidents of the United States would be by name. Incredibly impossible. And he did it. Now, I didn't come here to give you a history lesson, but I came to use history as a lesson to make a point. Here's what I put on the screen. If God said it and did it, then what does that mean about everything he has said that he has not done yet? If he said it in Daniel and it happened, that means everything he wrote in Psalms is going to happen. Everything he wrote in Matthew is going to happen. Everything he wrote in Mark and Ephesians and Revelation, it's going to happen, right? I'm trying to tell you that if you've got a promise from God over your life and it hasn't happened yet, hold on. Because what God says will happen will happen. If you've got a dream that you have not realized yet, don't give up because you haven't realized yet. Did God give you that dream? Then don't give up on it. If so, remember Ephesians 3:20 where he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you could possibly ask or imagine according to the power of God at the work that is working within our lives." When it feels like your life is not going according to plan, hear me this morning, don't freak out. Don't panic. Just remember, when your life doesn't go according to plan, that he says in Jeremiah 29, "I have a plan. I have a plan to prosper you, to give you a future." I'm just saying, if this is real, God is real. And if God is real, what does that mean about the rest of the Bible? What does that mean about the rest of the book? Good things, church. Listen, it's not that Christians and non-Christians, they don't have faith. We both have faith. Christians and non-Christians, we just have faith in different things. You know, I believe it takes just as much faith to believe that God exists than it does to believe that he doesn't exist. In fact, I think it takes even more faith to believe in a God that is real and exists. So hear me this morning. I believe this. We can't walk out of church tomorrow. You don't get to leave this morning without making a faith decision, either way you want to make it. I don't think it's an option. The question for me, though, is when you leave, where will you place your faith and in who will you put your faith in, right? You don't want to put your faith in God? That's fine. We're okay with that, all right? I would just say it harshly like this. Enjoy trying to navigate the difficult seasons of life without God. Man, you don't want to have faith in God? Without God, it's difficult to find and navigate morality. Without God, you know, with a country that changes its morality stance every day, try doing it without God. Without God, it's difficult to navigate loss and find hope. But hear me this morning, if you believe in God, I've got good news for you in this book called the Bible. Though you wouldn't know it by my second truth this morning, because here's the second truth. I gave you three of the beasts, Babylonian, Persia, Greece, but the fourth beast is actually unnamed. The fourth beast is a little different. He doesn't look like the other ones. And here's what I know, truth about the end times. We will face trials. We will face trials. Daniel 7:25, he will speak against the Most High and press his holy people. Daniel 8:24, he will cause outstanding devastation and succeed in whatever he does. Now hear me this morning, depending on whether you're talking to an historian or a theologian or an atheist or a Christian, there's a lot of interpretation on who that fourth beast is. Some people believe, and it'll be on the screen, some believe, if you look back to history, that it was Antiochus. Antiochus was around 160 BC, and he was an evil ruler. He desecrated the Jewish temple. Some say that he's the representative of the fourth beast that Daniel was writing about. Some people say that it was actually the Roman Emperor Nero, right? Maybe you've heard of the Romans who hated Christians so much that they would actually feed them to the lions, right? And this happened during his reign, about 70 AD. After Nero died, the Jewish temple was destroyed. Solomon's tabernacle was ruined. And some Christians believe that this person hasn't come yet, that he's going to come. And he's going to come as a figure, as we call in the church, the Antichrist. And he will be the most evil leader the world has ever seen, but we don't know when or who that is. Now, when you look at Daniel prophecy, when you look at what he wrote, which one is it? That's the question, right? Well, the truth is the prophecy aligns with each of them in one way or another. But none of it, the prophesy doesn't align with any of them perfectly. And so I think it's because the reality, because it doesn't align, I think the reality is this, is because they're all true. Because Daniel, hear me this morning, is not trying to predict a person. Daniel is trying to predict a pattern. That in this world, evil will arise. Whether it's Antiochus, Nero, Hitler, Stalin, Bin Laden, whatever it is, evil will rise. Trouble will happen. Trials will happen. And why would God want to tell us about that? Well, I'll tell you why. So that you can be prepared. So you can be ready. Most importantly, hear me, so you don't panic. When I go to give blood, you know, the blood taker, that's what I call him, the blood taker. They always say to you before you give blood, you're gonna feel a pinch. Don't panic. It's normal. Now, I've given blood hundreds of times, right? And I know this is true, but I am so glad that the first time I gave blood, they told me that. I mean, could you imagine not getting that warning the first time? Like you sit down, everything's fine, and they look away, and then bam, they jam you in the arm, and you'd be like, ah, but what was that, you know? Why didn't you tell me? I mean, I'd be like, they're trying to kill me in here, you know, or something. I remember I got an MRI once on my back, and I remember the technician saying, you're going to hear a loud noise. Don't worry, that's normal. And he wasn't lying. Thank God he told me about that, because when I got in that machine, I thought it was about to eat me. Like, it was that scary. Listen to me. If I would have walked away from these things, my panic could have caused me to punctuate my process. What the doctor was trying to do in my life to make me better, I would have cut it short. Because I didn't know that the pain, hear me, and the discomfort that you're going through, the pain and the discomfort you're going through was actually part of the remedy. It's part of the remedy. Are you getting this morning? The pain, this that you're facing is actually part of the remedy. When people betray you, don't panic. It's normal. When the church fails you, right? And you feel like, oh, they betrayed me. They didn't fail me. Listen to me. The church is just a collection of people, right? It's normal. When work gets overwhelming, when your marriage and relationships get overwhelming, when your circumstances get overwhelming, don't panic. It's normal. Don't quit. Don't give up. Trials happen. How many of you know this? When we panic, we make unwise choices. We panic, make unwise choices. I love this when I'm on an airplane, right? I love the pilot on the airplane right before the plane hits turbulence, right? The pilot sees it coming from miles away. He knows that it's coming. So he comes on the loudspeaker and he says, hey, welcome on our flight. And, you know, we're so amount feet in the air. And I'm going to ask you to buckle up your seats. Nice calm voice. We're headed into some choppy winds. And it's going to get bumpy, right? So we're going to turn on the fasten the seatbelt light sign. But then they say this, we will get through this shortly. And I'm like, thank you. Thanks for that heads up. Thank you. You just brought peace into my life, right? He prepared me, right? He didn't freak me out, right? But imagine when you're on the plane and they don't say anything. In fact, I came across this headline, true story. It'll be on the screen. Simply, this really happened. Man tries to open plane door in midair after suffering a panic attack, is stopped by fellow passengers. This is a true story. It really, really happened. But hear me this morning. I'm not trying to belittle panic attacks. That's a real thing. It's some things that real people struggle with. But hear me. But I when I read this, I had to think about what made you think it's safer out there than it is in here? What made you think it's safer? I mean, my best chance of getting through this is in here, not out there. Listen, I know the world is scary. It's a scary place right now. I know our culture is divided. I know there's diseases and 20 different variants, and we're getting ready to move from one giraffe pox to ostrich pox to all kinds of pox. I get it. The world is at war, and that's a very real thing. But I want to tell you today, church, don't run for the exits. Don't run for the exit. Buckle up, because I promise you, it's safer in here. It's safer in here. And let me just add it this way. It's safer following Jesus. It's safer following Jesus. It's safer in his word. It's safer in his promises. It's safer serving God than serving this world. Because at least this way, I got hope. At least this way, I got promise. At least this way, I've got direction. Because here's the third truth about the end times, right? Look at it this way. We will face trials and God will save us. We will face trials and God will save us, right? This is the other thing we need to know about the end times. Listen to what it says in Daniel 8, 25. It says, yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. God will save us. Remember, I told you, you cannot understand the last six chapters unless you look at the first six chapters. Check this slide out on the screen. I want you to grasp this. You have to read the first chapter, six chapters, to understand the last six chapters. Because four and five is where we see, after chapters four and five, we see the beast. But do you remember chapters one, two, three, and six? There is a threat through each of those chapters. Chapter one, if you refuse to eat the food, you're going to die. They trust in God, he gets them through. Chapter two, tell them the dream or die, right? They fasted and God tells them the dream. They make it through the trial. In chapter three, the men in the fire. If you don't bow to King Nebuchadnezzar, you're gonna die. Guess what? They don't bow. And not only do they get thrown in the fire, but Jesus joins them in the fire. And they are rescued from their trial. In chapter six, Daniel in the lion's den, he's thrown into the lions to be devoured. God shuts their mouth and he survives. Chapters one through three and six are trying to help you interpret chapters 7 through 12, that it will get scary and it will get worse, but God will save you in it. God will save you in it. Isn't that great news for us today? I mean, and somebody will say, well, when? When's he gonna save me? Because it's getting hot in my life right now. Like, I'm going through a lot of junk. A lot of things happen. Like, any day now, God, you can show up, right? Listen to this. You guys ready for some math this morning? Let me give you a little bit of math. Daniel 9, 25 through 26. Hang on. Just chill with me now. Now listen and understand. This is what it says. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. After the period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one, Jesus, will be killed, appearing to accomplish nothing. Does that sound familiar to you? Look at this, 444 BC. 444 BC was when the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem. That's when the command was given. It was destroyed. 440 BC, they say, okay, it's time to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, Daniel said 62 sevens plus seven sets of seven. Now, follow with me. I'm not pretending to be a mathematician. Just follow me. That's 69 sevens. The sevens that he's talking about there is actually a set of 7 years. So you take 69 and you multiply it by 7 years, right? That comes to like 483 or something like that. But hear me this morning. You can't multiply a year by 365 days because the Jewish year is actually 360 days. So hear me, hang on with me for a minute. I promise you, I will blow your mind in 25 seconds. 360 days times 69 takes us to 76 years and 21 days. So when you add that all together, you get 476 years and 21 days. If you take the 476 years and 20 days and add it to 444 BC, then you get this. Anybody know what happened in 33 AD? 33 AD is when Jesus Christ died on a cross. When Jesus Christ died at the age of 33. We are so sure of this that we actually measure time by it, BC and AD. So God, in the book of Daniel, predicted the date Jesus would die. Not only did he predict the date that Jesus would die, 600 years before it happened. 600 years before it happened, guys. Which means that salvation isn't just coming, it's already come through Jesus Christ. How did Jesus save me? I'm still going through difficulties. I still experience things. I'm still going through trials because he didn't save you the way that you think he saved you. We always expect Jesus, you know, to save you in a trial, get rid of my heartache, get rid of my fear, get rid of all these things. But there's another kind of saving. Here, I brought my prop here real quick. There's another kind of saving. Today I brought my umbrella, my flashlight, and my Tide pen. And you may say to yourself, what do these things have in common except that they all came from my garage, right? What does an umbrella and a flashlight and a Tide pen have in common? right? They don't save you from. They don't save you from. You know what they do? They save you in. They save you in. When I open this umbrella, right, it doesn't stop raining when I open there. I wish that would be cool, right? But it doesn't stop raining when I open the umbrella. I'm not saved from the rain, but it saves me when it rains. It saves me when it rains. The flashlight, right, doesn't save me from darkness, right? But if you're ever in a dark situation, you got something that will get you through the darkness. The Tide pin, right? The Tide pin doesn't keep me from getting stained. It doesn't keep me from getting stained. It doesn't keep me from getting dirty. But if you get stained, if you get dirty, oh, check this out. You got something that will erase the dirt. You got something that'll erase the dirt. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus didn't come to save you from heartaches. He didn't do that. He came to be a shelter in the heartache. When things in your life, it feels like it's raining all around you, you got a peace that you live life under something else, right? When you're lost, right? When you're lost, you can say, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. You don't know that song, right? Okay. You, when you're lost, you have something that's gonna light you in the midst of the darkness that you're going through, right? And oh, even better than that, right? When you got, and when you feel like a mistake has marked your life, when you feel like a mistake has marked, like you serve a God whose blood is so powerful that every mistake is just erased, just like that. It's erased just like that. He saves you in it. Some might be like, well, the world is still falling apart. My life is still falling apart. Well, that's, can I just encourage you with this simple statement? That's not gonna stay that way forever. Because here's the last truth of the end times. Your life may be falling apart, but here's the last truth. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. We don't say this a lot in church, right? But you need to know it. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago and changed the world. And he's coming again soon to change it again. Last time he was so that he can change you on the inside. The next time he comes is so to change us on the outside. No more war, no more disease, no more loneliness, no more sickness, no more weeping, no more crying. The next time, it's just life. Daniel 7, I love this, guys, grab this. Verse 9, as I looked, thrones were set in place and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. His hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. What did he look like? Daniel 7:13. Like a son of man coming with clouds of heaven. Then it says in verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. Listen to me. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 12. Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. You ever heard this before? I'm sure if you've grown up in church, you might have heard this. You know, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And honestly, we kind of get numb to it because you probably heard that for the last 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, whatever it might be. Jesus is coming back. When's he coming, Pastor Heath? Let me help you with that. Genesis kind of outlines this a little bit for us. In order to understand the ending of this world, you have to understand the first time that the world ended. Genesis chapter 5, verse 20 says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he had become the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So something happened when Methuselah was born that made Enoch want to serve God. What was it? Let me show you something this morning. It'll be on. First of all, is this Methuselah was next slide. Is it there? Am I on my slides? Oh, there we go. Methuselah died when he was 969 years old. He was the oldest man to ever live. Methuselah, next slide. Methuselah was 187 years old when he had his son Lamech, right? Then you go down and it says Lamech, next slide. Then when Lamech was 182 years old, he had his son Noah. Anybody ever heard of Noah before? Right? You remember Noah? And that's when the world ended the first time, that God pushed the reset button when Noah was born. How old was Noah when the flood came? We'll be on this next slide. Noah, the flood, the end of the world happened in the 600th year of Noah's life. When you take those years, you get the age of Methuselah when the blood, next slide. You add all these years up, 187, 182, 600, you get 969. 969 years old. Let me connect this for you. When Methuselah died, the flood began. When Methuselah died, the rain began to fall and the flood began to happen. What does Methuselah's name mean in English? Let me tell you what it means. When he dies, it will come. That's what his name means. When he dies, it will come. Now, why wouldn't the oldest man alive, why would the oldest man alive be connected to the end of the world? I imagine two conversations taking place. Number one, Noah, the Bible was very clear that Noah preached hundreds of years, that the world was coming to an end. And guess what? No one believed him. No one believed him. And I thought I was a bad preacher, right? But man, 300 years preaching, imagine hundreds of years and no one believes. The world's coming to an end and that you would be saved. He said this for over 300 years. But then I think there's a second conversation I wonder is that maybe it's taking place in heaven. And as people are saying, hey God, look, Methuselah, he's getting mad old, God. Like he's 800 years right now. I mean, God, I know you love him, but isn't it time for Methuselah to go home? I mean, he's old. He can barely walk. And God's like, nah, not yet. 900 years old. God, Methuselah is old. I mean, surely now is his time. He's seen enough. Isn't it time to bring Methuselah home? And God's like, nah. And they're like, well, listen, he's already the older person. God, what else do you have to prove? And God's like, nah, because when I take him, it's over. When I take him, it's over. And I have to wonder if God's imagination is going like this. There are still people on earth. There's still people on earth. I got to give him one more day. There's still people on earth. I got to give them one more chance to make it right. I got to extend to them the time to take advantage of every opportunity to follow me. I wrote it on the screen this way. It'll be on there, but it says this. I believe God's not waiting to come back. He's waiting for you to come back to him. He's waiting for you to come back to him. I firmly believe this. Maybe Jesus hasn't come back yet because he just wanted one more Sunday for someone to come back to him. Maybe Jesus hasn't come back because he's just waiting for one more time for you to experience him. Maybe he just hasn't come back because he's living by that model until the whole world hears. Until the whole world hears. Maybe just one more day. I want you to listen to what Daniel 12, 13 says. As for you, go your way. Till the end, you will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. In other words, hang in there. Don't quit. Jesus is coming back. Though we don't know the time or the exact, he is coming back. But just count it a privilege that you got to be here today one more time to hear. For any of you in this room that are going through a trial, you're going through a season, let me encourage you with this. It'll be on the screen. Let me encourage you this last thing. You won't go through this forever. You will go through this until forever. You won't go through this forever. You go through it until forever. You can do this. We as men and women of God, let's don't panic. Let's hang in there. Our God is in control. Our God is in control. God is real. You will face trials. But you will face trials and God will save you. And Jesus is coming back. Truths. It's the reality. Isn't it amazing how God can set everything up in just such perfect ways? I think Daniel's a reminder that God is in control, that nothing catches him by surprise. I think Daniel's a reminder that your life is in his hands and that he strategically knows everything. I don't think God is caught off guard up in heaven wondering what's the next move. I think he already has planned the next move. And all you and I have to do is submit to him. All we have to do is submit and say, hey, God, I know I'm gonna go through tough times, but I know this, no matter what I go through, I'm under your covering. No matter where I walk and no matter what I experience, I'm under your covering. You're with me, protect me, to walk with me, not to lead me astray, but to walk with me. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experience that when he's with you. Father, this morning, we thank you for the privilege of being in this place and hearing your word. And Lord, it's no secret, God, that we are living in some perplexing times. We're living in some unique time. This morning is just the reality is don't panic, don't quit, hold on, and know that our God will save us. Don't quit, don't panic, hold on. Jesus is coming back. So whatever we face today, whatever we go through, Daniel is that encouraging reminder. Doubt doesn't have to dictate us, but that God, we can find safety in embracing Jesus Christ, that there is safety in following you. And so we thank you for that today. May you move on our hearts in these moments we have together.
And earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, can be calmed and broken for my God. Through it all, my eyes are. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are. It is well. It is well. So let go my soul and trust in waves and winds. Still know his name. Let go my soul and trust in him. The ways in which still know his name. The ways in which still know his name. Is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well.
Say here today and say, I don't know if it is. It's not by accident you're here this morning. God is here in this place to make it well with you. If you're here this morning, let's just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. If you're here this morning, just say, listen, it's not well with me, but I want to make it well. If that's you this morning, we're not to embarrass you or anything, but if maybe you're out there and you said that was me, maybe just put your hand, put it back down again. Anybody, I can pray for you. Say, it's not well with me. I want to make it well. Anyone at all, come on. This is your opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just come to you right now and just ask God that you'd make it well. God, you restore to us the love and the joy of serving God and the realization again that our God is with us Jesus is coming back, and we can take heart in the midst of that. Lord, I pray you make a church that doesn't panic, but a church that is sure, a church that is solid in understanding who we serve and what he means. Help us, Lord, to come together as a place and say, hey, we know that Jesus is coming back one more Sunday, one more day, that we might make your name famous, that we might lift you up with everything that we do and say. I pray for people in this room today that just need that encouragement today, that Jesus, that you would just be a reality today in the lives of people. Lord, we're all going to have a this. We're all struggling with a this. They're all different. But Lord, whatever that this may be for the person in the room today, Lord, may they feel the comfort of God coming alongside them saying, we can get through this. We can get through this. And so I thank you for that today, Jesus. Thank you for church. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and talk about you and worship you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Life Center Sermon Podcast. To learn more about our church and the ministries we offer, visit our website at missoulachurch.com. Have a great week!